more of Life Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. It was a rough few months to be a sports fan in the Fox Valley. The Green Bay Packers season came to an abrupt end in the first round of the playoffs, and so Super Bowl Sunday likely passed pretty quietly in places like Green Bay and Oshkosh and Fond du Lac. But the sports world will be buzzing again soon. This Saturday marks the start of the sturgeon season on Lake Winnebago, and conditions are reportedly just about perfect for the event. Thousands will take to the ice for the 16-day season in which anglers haul in their catch with hand-fashioned spears. Ahead of the fishing season, a new documentary on the sturgeon fishing tradition will have its world premiere in Fond du Lac on Thursday night.
For 16 days each winter, a rare breed of sportsmen known as the Frozen Chosen battle the elements and a mythical beast. Families like the Mookies, Dad, son Chad, and his brother Stuart arm themselves with 7-foot spears.
Wisconsin filmmaker Steve Betcher is the producer of the film The Frozen Chosen, which will also show on public television next week. He's with us in the Lake Effect studio with a preview. Welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
What makes sturgeon such a legendary fish?
I'll tell you, I think it's the length they live. And on Lake Winnebago, we have the greatest population in the entire globe. So the likelihood of seeing a sturgeon or spearing a sturgeon is low. But this fish could be 100 years old and weigh 200 to 300 pounds. Pretty amazing.
And the story of fishing for them itself is a little more, dare I say, more interesting than your typical fishing story.
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, ice road truckers meets deadliest catch. And the sportsmen, men and women that go out to partake of this sport are really unique. They're really, it's kind of like MacGyver on ice to go get a sturgeon.
Why is spearfishing the way they catch these? Why aren't they just out there with a rod and reel?
Well, you know, this dates back to Native American period, and the Native Americans taught the early pioneers, if you will, here how to do this. And at some point in the early 1910s, 1920s, this fish was pretty much almost extinct. And the DNR has done an amazing job managing this oak tree, if you will. It takes that long to manage its population. Right around the Great Depression is when they opened up spearing season to allow people to take place of this. And it's been going on for 82 years in our state.
How easy is it to be successful? I mean, I know one of the fishermen you interviewed described it as like duck hunting through a chimney.
Yeah, it's really a challenge. You think about it. You go out maybe a mile offshore and cut a hole in the ice the size of a big screen television, slide a shanty over it, and you wait, and you wait. And pitch dark shanty, you sit there for 5 hours and every day, and you hope to see something swim by. And the percentage is about 7% that you're going to see something, which is pretty low.
And you're really kind of, I mean, these are far enough down there that from what I gather, you're looking for a shadow, essentially.
Absolutely. There are some deep spots in the lake. The lake's actually a fairly shallow lake, but there are 18, 20 feet depth in that. And you have to kind of wait for the fish to almost to swim out so it doesn't see you. And then with this handmade spear, this primitive way of fishing, if you will, you have to launch it and hopefully get a sturgeon.
People talk about it a lot in this movie in terms of bravery, and some of it is obviously tongue-in-cheek. But what are the brave aspects of being a part of the sport?
I think, you know, just going out on shifting and moving ice. That's thin ice, and there's a dive rescue team in Fond du Lac that goes out and rescues people. And there's stories of people parking their truck next to their shanty and going out after 5 or 6 hours inside of their shanty, looking out, and the truck has shifted down the ice because two plates of ice have moved. So it is, you know, it's always unstable on ice.
Talk about the spears that people use in this sport. These are not fishing rods that you can, you know, go over to Cabela's or Sports Authority and buy off the rack.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing at Costco. And they're handmade. And this is kind of passed down from generation to generation, this kind of sport. It's like there's no school for being a pirate, and there's no real school for being, you know, in the spearing business, if you will. And it's passed down from generation to generation. They make spears. It's hours and hours, labor intensive. You know, it starts from little on for many kids.
Well, and generation to generation is a good segue because you spent some time with a couple of the royal families of sturgeon fishing. The Schumachers and the Mookies are really at the top of the heap.
Yeah, it's kind of like SEAL Team 6 versus the MacGyvers, if you will. The Schumachers are five generations on the ice. And the oldest grandfather is 94 years old. He's been doing it since the first year it's been legal after the Great Depression. So they go out, and it's a clan. It's, you know, it's kids, it's grandkids. It's just they invade the ice. And the other shore is the Mookie family, which is three brothers, and they're sportsmen, and they are very aggressive. And they go out in the cover of darkness. They even put up decoy shanties to throw off people that think, oh, are they fishing there? Oh, no, they move somewhere else. So it's a really fun sport.
Well, and these aren't official contests, are they? This is really about bragging rights.
Totally. And, you know, the quote is you go from zero to hero in a matter of seconds. And you go into the weighing stations, and it's like a rock star returning, you know, or a sailor returning from sea. And you go into these stations, and there's cheering and applauding and weighing the fish in. And then it's all the fish stories that go with it.
Well, and there's some strategy. I think it's Chad Mookie that you were spending time with, who was really waiting for just the right fish at the potential expense of never seeing another fish.
Yeah, it's that trophy fish they're all hoping for. I think 2 years ago, the largest one was speared 212 pounds by a man in Appleton. And you think about that, it's like pulling up a linebacker you know, out of the hole in a sense. And it's like once you get that fish on, it is Fight Club. They have a lot of passion. And that's what, as filmmakers, drew us to this story, that it's always about people in our world, and great passion makes great stories.
This is not an attractive fish.
No, it's a toothless fish, you know. So when Lady Luck smiles, she has no teeth. So it is very it's a very ugly fish, if you will.
How willing were the families like the Schumachers and the Mookies to share the secrets of their success?
Oh, great question. I think, you know, they are very protective of their tradition. They're very protective of their families. And to get them to say, hey, can we come along and film you guys for two seasons of fishing was a leap of faith for them. But I think they wanted to just share, if anything, their love for this sport. And as sportsmen as they are, this is the largest, biggest event for them all year long. And I think the film reflects that.
And so two seasons, you actually spent time the past couple of years?
Yeah, the last couple of years we spent. I think the challenge for us was sitting and watching somebody fishing is not that exciting. So we have to bring to the audience the fish coming out and the fish on the ice and that kind of feeling. So that is the challenge. So we wait with patience along with everybody else to kind of film that.
We have just had the Super Bowl, obviously. The Winter Olympics are getting underway this week. How does sturgeon season on Lake Winnebago compare to those kinds of events?
I think for the sportsmen, this is a huge event. This is a great moment in our state, and it always happens in February. It's a 16-day season, unless it's capped and it ends early. But I think what's also great about this story is it's a success story with the DNR and their efforts to preserve this fish. And it's, you can't have one without the other. So the sportsmen and the DNR work hand in hand in the sport, and we've had this unbelievable population brought back to Lake Winnebago, and we're the only spot in the globe you can do this.
What's the atmosphere like when people are bringing these fish off the ice to a weigh-in?
Oh, I got to encourage people to go to Fond du Lac on Saturday around 12, 1 o'clock. There's a couple weighing stations that they register these fish, and one of them is Wentz, and it's a small tavern on Lake Winnebago, and it is like a carnival atmosphere. Photographs, it is a party. And then later on, there's this sturgeon stampede that happens in Fond du Lac this weekend. Fireworks and bonfires and, I mean, music. And it's just, it's really, really a great event. So get in the car and drive there. It's a great event.
How challenging was this from a filmmaking standpoint? I mean, you talk about trying to heighten the excitement, because if you just sat there watching people watch for a fish for 6 hours, it probably wouldn't be that interesting. But there's some really kind of innovative camera work you undertook in this.
Yeah, I think, you know, the challenge for us is we have to survive right along on the ice with these fishermen. So we're struggling with the same issues of shifting ice and cracks in the ice and ice moving every single day. One dive rescue man said it's like a polar bear that rises up quickly on this lake, and you have to be very careful. And then the challenge of getting underwater photography in ice cold weather is just really amazing. So we wanted to kind of bring perspectives to this that the average person would never see. You know, what's it like for these fish underwater? And also we followed the spring spawning season up the rivers. So, yeah, we really kind of fell in love with the sport as we were doing this and the people. Yeah, it's a really, really amazing story that, quite honestly, it's not told very often in our state. And that's what I think is kind of unique.
Well, and to the degree that the Schumachers and the Mookies were maybe reluctant to share all of their secrets, I'm curious about your secrets. How do you do underwater photography when, you know, you might have, you know, a couple of feet of ice on top of that open water?
Yeah, that's very true. And we've actually lost multiple cameras on the bottom of the lake. We had to go fish them out with DNR's approval. But yeah, it is a challenge. And I think just kind of keeping your cameras warm and, you know, that kind of stuff and being ready at that exact moment when that fish enters the hole. So you stand with your finger, if you will, on the trigger of the camera, just kind of getting ready to film that, be part of that, and not get in the way. You're in a small little space, 3 feet by 4 feet, 5 feet, and not get in the way of this man that's been waiting or this woman that's been waiting for a sturgeon for 20 years to swim through their hole for the first time. So, yeah, it was fun.
Well, and it's interesting because you sat in with some fishermen who, within a couple of minutes of their day starting, they had a fish. And then there are some people who have never caught a fish in the 20 years they've been out there.
Yeah, what's interesting, the Schumacher family, the grandfather, who's 94 years old, Al Schumacher, speared the biggest fish for the clan probably about 10 years ago. I think it was a 110-pound fish. We were with his grandson the day, and he'd been waiting 17 years, the day he got hit the largest fish the clan has ever seen in 82 years, and I believe it was 130 or 140 pound. And just, it was just dumb luck, quite honestly. Just being in the right shanty at the right day at the right moment when this torpedo comes swimming underneath the hole.
I imagine as filmmakers, you were sitting there sometimes for hours at a time and nothing happened.
Absolutely. And that's where the fishermen start inventing stories. And these fishermen and women have great, great stories to share of things that may have happened once or maybe never really happened. So fish stories go along with this tale just as well.
Let me ask you maybe a sidebar question here. How is it possible that there is a sturgeon spearing and polka radio show?
Oh, this is great. And you would love this as a radio guy. There's a radio station on the southern tip of the lake and KFIZ. And on Saturday morning, Jerry Schneider plays three polkas. And then he gives the spearing report. And, you know, on the south side of the lake, we got a 180-pounder that just came in, and then it's back to polkas. And it's so much part of the fabric of our state, which we embrace and we love, and the film embraces it. So I think, actually, it's just kind of a great celebration.
And his wife is answering the phone and taking in the fish reports, and they've got prizes they're handing out.
Yeah, and they hand out, like, you know, we'll pump out your sump pump gift certificates for $20, you know. And so that was also part of the storytelling technique, if you will, to kind of hear the voices of people. And this radio station is just so unique. And I thought, you know, who still plays polkas in the U.S. except this one station? And that's what's so exciting.
After spending all this time with the all-stars of this pastime, if you will, did you find yourself kind of getting your head around really what this was all about in all the time that you spent with these people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think after a while, the excitement they have starts rubbing off on you. And I'm watching in the hole with just as much intensity as they have. And the excitement that they bring, you start bringing to the film. And actually, at some point, you know, when you're editing these programs, you spend so much time with it. And we spent, I think, about a year editing and bringing this program to life. It's kind of like a child of yours. You come really attached to it. So we're really proud of it. I think we want to serve also the people in the film well. You know, I live in this state. We're filmmakers in the state. I want to be able to go outside of my house without getting speared, you know. So we have to be really careful with that, too.
Well, I thought what one of the fishermen said was really interesting, that the excitement to him was as much about what he wasn't seeing as what he was seeing.
Absolutely. One of them talks about, like, when you walk on the ice, it's kind of like Jaws. You kind of almost hear the sound when you kind of walk underneath on the ice and you hear that sound. And I think just that whole anticipation is just so great for these people.
Did you ever take a turn watching through the ice holding a spear?
I did not. Technically, I did not have a permit, so I was not allowed to touch the spear, which I never did. And we had our hands full, honestly, just kind of capturing this and, you know, staying on top of the ice, not below.
In all the time that you were working on this film, now that there is a finished product out there, is there a moment that will stay with you the longest as a filmmaker who experienced this phenomena?
You know, I think it always comes down to the people, and it's just seeing the passion that people have for an activity like that, and that's really what we look for. You know, at one point in the film, you'll see one man get choked up as he talks about introducing the sport to his children and the next generation and just the excitement and pride they have. And you kind of go like, okay, it's just a fish, but it's so much more to these people in this area and that partake of the sport. So that's really the thrill for us, and that's what I'll take back.
There is something significant about the fact that they are looking through a hole the size of a widescreen TV, but they are not looking at a TV.
And it's often the murky water, and you start seeing shadows and shades, and you see current going past. And after a while, you just start, you know, you start seeing ghosts in the water, if you will. But yeah, and I think just that whole experience of waiting and the anticipation and the excitement, and then you just sit and have to wait and wait and wait, and there's no clock for it, which is amazing.
Well, Steve Betcher, thanks so much for bringing us this story.
Thank you so much.
Steve Betcher is the producer of the documentary The Frozen Chosen, which has its world premiere in Fond du Lac on Thursday night. You can learn how to win tickets to that event at wuwm.com/contests. The film will also show next Monday evening on Milwaukee Public Television. That's Tuesday's show. Tomorrow on Lake Effect, we'll get ready for the Winter Olympics with a Milwaukee professor whose expertise includes both sports history and Russia. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.